This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on Kempis's Radio. Here, will you do us a favour?
Where are you from?
Why?
Hey! Hey. By gum, you go all London and Northern on me.
All in one go?
What's wrong with you? Carry on.
You sure?
Yeah, go.
Oh, thank you, Bird.
And go.
Oh, thank you. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, the 28th of August, you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the absolutely gorgeous...
It's Bird on a bike.
Miss on a bike.
You all right?
Oh, I'm cool, thank you. How are
good.
You?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah,
we've been quiet in the studio. I've been in here an hour and we've hardly said a word.
I know. Well, you came.
Our guest comes in.
You came marching straight in and sat down and said, "I've got to do my show for tomorrow."
Oh, that's the conversation on channelradio.co.uk.
How is it?
From 1 till 2. Oh. We've got a big guest this month, I tell you.
I know you have.
Here, did you listen to last week's show?
I did.
You did not.
No, I didn't.
Are you going to tell? How rude. We only had the top podcaster in the UK, Ben.
I saw that,
Ben,
yeah. Hey, but what a guest you got tomorrow as well.
I know, Penny Power.
Oh, yeah.
OBE. Brilliant.
Yeah, and we got a top lineup of guests today.
Who we got Wayne.
Afternoon, I am here.
Yeah. Just about.
Yeah. How did you feel knowing you were coming live on air and you were late?
Yeah, it was getting a little bit close. eight times before I missed the great big orange building.
And then, of course, joining Wayne on the phone, we have the lovely Gillian Penny, who's one of the co-founders of the Anne Frank Trust. So we're looking forward to talking to Gillian. And then, of course, we've got the fabulous Mr. Giles Brandreth joining us very shortly on the phone.
Gillian's speaking at Women in Business.
She is indeed, yeah.
Yeah, be interesting to talk.
Yeah, and Giles is doing the after-dinner speech at the Southeast Construction Expo dinner. Mm. So,
is that one that you're emceeing?
Well, I am there all day, but I'm not at the dinner because I'm speaking at another event in Sussex the same night for some bizarre reason.
Yeah. Are you allowed to say that?
Yeah, what it is. Yeah. It's the launch of a co-working space called Space.
Nice.
Yeah, in Rye.
Nice. I've heard about this. Is this in the theatre?
In the old theatre.
Yes. Yeah. We talked about it the other week, didn't we?
In Fish Market Lane, yeah. Absolutely. Nice. So I'm doing a little talk there at the launch.
What are you going to talk about? Wait for this, man.
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm not there yet, am I?
How's your speech writing going?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, one day I might write one.
Don't. I like it.
Do you know, once, I used to work as a professional speaker, and somebody kept having a go at me going, "You never plan anything." I go, no, I don't need to. I don't want to.
And sometimes the best things come out that are unplanned.
Yeah, exactly. And I got bored with listening to me anyway. So if I don't know what I'm going to say, it's a surprise for me as well.
Surprise for everyone.
Yeah, but otherwise, you can practice in the mirror or in front of your friends and family a pre-written speech. You're bored of it before you even get up and present it.
So. I did one where I succumbed and I wrote notes for a speech, which I learnt. Yeah, and it was a disaster. It just wasn't real. It wasn't me, so I've never done it again.
Nice.
Waste of time. Anyway, so I don't know what
Please,
I'm talking...
Please, anybody who's normally speaking, it is not a waste of time to prepare for your talk at all, is it, Mr. Andrews? The judge of, can I say, the speakers.
The speakers platform.
If the subject matter is something that you're knowledgeable about,
so
you can
sorry.
Normally get through it. It's if you're asked to talk at an event, maybe where the subject matter isn't necessarily an area of your expertise, that's where you can
absolutely.
Come unstuck a little bit.
Yeah, but this is from the judge who's going to be judging people who are speaking soon, and he's going, no, don't prepare. Sunshine, just up on stage.
But Wayne's absolutely right. You should never talk about a subject you don't understand.
No.
And if you understand a subject, you should have enough material. Yeah. You know, it's like if I said to Wayne's managing director of a recruitment business, a very, very successful recruitment business, if I said to him, talk to me about recruitment, he ain't going to go away and go, do you know what, I've got to go away and write a few notes.
No. Well, we'll see later. if I can think of anything to say.
He's going to know his business, isn't
that's
he?
Right.
So that's the way it works. Anyway, enough of all that. We've got a great lineup, I guess.
Who've we got?
Well, as
You've
I said,
just
we,
told us.
Well, I've just told you. We've got Wayne and Gillian and Joe. Were you not listening? The fact that I didn't listen to her show last week was a problem. Yeah. The fact that she's not listening to the one she's actually on is even worse.
Oh, it doesn't bode well for later.
It doesn't, does it?
That's it. I'm gone now, aren't I?
Yeah. Anyway, listen, we'd like to hear from you, the businesses out there in Kent that aren't on holiday at the moment. So do get in touch with us. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call us. on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BeBunker. We have had a few tweets. We're a bit low on tweets at the moment.
It's holiday, isn't it?
Because summer holiday time.
Literally, what is wrong with people? The whole of August just drops.
It's gone, isn't it?
I'm going to take off the whole of August next year and just go surfing.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Can you surf?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's the accent.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And she's just come back
from Nuki as well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I would like to say that I stand up on the waves, Wayne, if I'm really honest, but I'd be lying. Yeah. If I got up four times in a week, I'd be lying.
But I loved it more than I can.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
We were talking, this was one of the things we were talking about on Mastermind, because you said to me, can you give us a heads up of what we're talking about today?
Mm. Yeah.
And that hasn't come to you.
By the way. No.
So. But we were talking about this, of how you learn. So, yeah, we were talking about surfing and how it's a new, learning something new.
Yeah.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I've only given it a go once, and I'm not a natural. I think my height sort of is a disadvantage.
It is a disadvantage.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, it is. Yeah. Funnily enough, when I was much younger, I could surf a little bit, but both my sons are really good surfers.
Yeah.
Although we're all tall, but they start.
But if
they
start off young, so my boy's been skiing. He can do all that. Whereas I think if I stuck on a pair of skis now, I'd just go down like a snowball. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool.
Cool. I'm bored now.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about?
Yeah, got nothing to talk about.
Well, I'll tell you what, right? I'll tell you what I've been doing recently.
Yeah.
Because I'm just preparing for my next book. So this is all about women and wisdom. Please don't say anything in those two sentences, in those two words in one sentence. I'm looking at history and some of the women who have gone before us, who've paved the way for us now.
Yeah, okay.
And there's an amazing woman who came to me who just, you know, when you hear this name and you can't hear it properly and then you research Google, thank the Lord for Google, I tell you, I'm like, duh. It took me half an hour to find her, and she's called Sojourner Truth. Ever heard of her?
Sojourner Truth?
Yeah.
No.
Here we are, see?
No. Sounds so like something out of The Simpsons.
Well, no, this is 1797.
Okay.
So I'm really good, and I knew you'd love this, so I'm going right back into history to find the answers.
So Sojourner Truth.
Yeah.
1797.
Yeah. American black slave.
Okay.
Was 81, slaved for half of her life, free for half of her life, had 13 children, five of them absolutely were imprisoned in slavery as well. Mm. Really interesting story how a woman walked away from slavery free and then absolutely became the first black woman in America to win a case.
Wow.
Fascinating how she influenced her marketplace. It's no different.
Interesting. Funnily enough, I saw...
I knew I'd get the finger going on this.
I saw on Facebook as well, not the same, but in a similar kind of thought pattern, about the first woman to ever enter a running race.
I saw it, yeah.
Did you
it's
see
amazing.
That?
Do you see what they did to her?
Yeah. Some bloke attacked her while she was running.
Horrific.
Tried to stop
in
her
a
running.
Marathon, yeah. Boston Marathon. Yeah. Yeah, he literally tried to rugby tackle her off because she dressed up as a man. Because women weren't allowed to run in marathons. Mm. They didn't believe that women's bodies could cope with more than 18 miles.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredible.
And we know that's not the truth.
Absolutely.
I've done too many of them now.
You have indeed. You're a bit of an iron lady, aren't you?
It's just enough. Anyway, so that's what I'm doing, is looking at history to find the answers.
Nice
Do you
one.
Do that?
Yeah, quite often. It's not always to find the answers, but it's to find how we got to where we got to.
Isn't that the same?
Well, kind of. I just like to understand the process. It doesn't mean it was right, and it doesn't mean it was the right answer. I just like to understand why we got to where we got to. And it's because, you know, a series of events unfolded historically that lead you to where you are. It doesn't mean to say you're in the right place, per se, but that's how we got where we got to. And I always find that fascinating, the sequence of events that lead you somewhere. And what always strikes me when we're talking politics or business or anything like that, is when you look at real historical events, a decision that takes you one way or the other has massive onward consequences. And I like to quite often think, well, what would happen if you hadn't taken that decision? If you'd taken a different decision, where would things have headed? How does that unfold? How does that make things happen? And the reason I find that useful is when I'm trying to make a decision about something, I don't get overly hung up on having to make the right decision, because what it is there's a whole series of things that could come out of any decision you make. Yeah, so whatever you decide, something will happen. Mm. You've just got to be ready for the consequences of that. Mm. Yeah.
It's interesting to me.
Interesting stuff. Do you know what? I'm going to play a record now, though.
What have you got?
I've got a little bit of Monkees.
Why?
Because it's short.
What, the word or the song?
The song is short. Yeah, Monkees is fairly short, but the song.
I don't have to sing along as part of this.
Please don't. Please don't.
I've got a little bit me, a little bit you.
Excellent.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Don't miss the Southeast Construction Expo, the premier CPD-accredited conference and exhibition. Hear from leading industry speakers, find out about major projects, free meet the buyer and lots more. Thursday, 13th of September 2018 at the South of England Event Centre with free parking. Visit www.constructionexpouk.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
JobsInKent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, JobsInKent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk. I'm joined on the phone now by Mr. Giles Brandreth. Good afternoon, Giles.
Good afternoon, and it's good to be with you, Paul, and congratulations, Paul, on the entrepreneurship, the awards you've won, and on Business Bunker.
Oh, thank you so much. It's very kind of you.
Well, I was thinking about you in recent weeks, because I've been up in Edinburgh, at the Edinburgh Fringe, and I was with some young people, and we were talking about, they were students, what they were going to do in their lives, and they said, oh, we're not going into business. And I said, oh, really? I said, don't you realize you're actually in business? They said, what do you mean, we're in theater? I said, it's a business. It's called show business for a reason. And what's amazing to me, and it really amazed me, we had this long conversation, is they didn't realize that all the things they do are actually about business, and they didn't realize it. And I said, well, I wonder why this is. I think it's partly because business doesn't get the coverage it should. You know, you look at a newspaper or magazine, or turn on the radio or the TV, and they're writing what they think is news, and it very rarely encompasses business. Mm. But actually, the Edinburgh Fringe, with, you know, whatever it had this year, I think something like 3,500 shows and 300 venues, many of them young, run by kids, they're actually getting a taste of what it's like to be an entrepreneur, put on a show, make it work, raise the budget, raise the funding, get the subsidy in, or not as the case may be, sell the tickets. It's actually business, and business is what makes everything tick. And yet, we very rarely talk about it. So I'm honoured to be joining you in your bunker, Paul.
Giles, thank you so much for that, and I couldn't agree with you more. And funny enough, it's one of the main reasons why we started this show 10 years ago, is because we didn't think, especially small businesses, didn't get the coverage that it deserved. And as you probably know from your time as a Member of Parliament, the small business community plays a huge part in the economy of the United Kingdom.
Forgive me, not my time as a Member of Parliament, my time in life.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am one of these people. I mean, I've been a small business person all my life, and I know the reality of what it's like, and my wife can tell you, she's been sitting up in the attic doing the VAT since it was introduced, a nightmare, those quarterly returns, and I remember years ago when I didn't take it seriously, we were once fined £2,000, and I thought, we are being fined for actually raising money for, I mean, what the hell is going on here? So don't think I don't know what it is like, and it gets worse. The more they promise, you know, to simplify, make it, so it's going to be a leaner, you know, we're going to be more business friendly, the less business friendly it becomes.
Absolutely.
So I do know what it's like, not just from having been an MP, but from having run my own businesses, some reasonably successfully, but some unsuccessfully, actually. And, you know, it's a roller coaster.
It certainly is, and failure is part of the process. To be honest, it's you know, you have to learn sometimes what doesn't work in order to know what does work.
Oh, I do know. Well, I tell you, I had a very good, a sanitary experience 30 or more years ago with a business that failed, and I realised how we got everything wrong. The basic idea was right, but we lacked, the basic thing we lacked, the three most important things, words I think in the business vocabulary are don't dabble, focus. Actually decide what you're trying to do, focus on it and deliver it. And we didn't. We had ambition, but we didn't have clarity of ambition. And anyway, that's the past. This is the future, and we're here to talk about the Southeast Construction Expo.
I just want to ask you one thing. You touched on the fact that you've been at the Edinburgh Fringe in the last week or so. Have you done the Fringe before, Giles?
I have. The Fringe actually changed my life.
Right.
I was a Member of Parliament, as you mentioned. I was a Member of Parliament until the people spoke. And in my case, they spoke in no uncertain terms. Because my wife said to me when the results came in, Giles, for you, when one door closes, it's shut. She did not help, though, because she actually put our house in the constituency up for sale during the campaign. I said, this isn't sending out quite the right signal. She said, the signal is immaterial. These guys really don't like you, Giles. Every other house in the street, this is true. Vote Brandreth, vote on all the houses in the street. Vote Brandreth, vote Brandreth, vote Brandreth. Our house, for sale. Anyway, so I was a member of Parliament for 5 years. It was completely fascinating. I loved it. I ended up at the Treasury. I was Lord Commissioner of the Treasury, government whip. Fascinating time. A really worthwhile experience. I don't regret it for a moment. But I knew I was out. What was I going to do? And curiously, the Edinburgh Fringe came to the rescue because my wife said to me, well, do whatever you most want to do in the world. And I thought, what I most want to do in the world is put on a musical.
Right.
Be in a musical. Star in a musical. And a friend of mine said, well, the place to go is the Edinburgh Fringe because they'll take anybody there. It's open access.
Right.
Everybody gets a chance. And you can be, you know, a kid, a student. You can be a world-famous professional. You can be an old person. My friend Nicholas Parsons, I was with him last week. He had a show at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Did he
really? At the age of 94.
Blimey.
So everybody, there's literally shows for four-year-olds and then 94-year-olds putting on shows. 3,500 of them. Some very, very good. Some not so good. All of them interesting and worthwhile and a very exciting experience. So I did this musical. In fact, I did what I ended up doing was 100 musicals in 100 minutes.
Really?
I wanted to cram it all in. And it was a big success, I'm pleased to say. I didn't expect it to be. And having been a member of Parliament, you know, at the end when people stood up, I thought they were standing up to cheer. They were standing up to cheer. It was quite extraordinary.
Brilliant.
And we sold out and we transferred to the West End and we toured the country. And so I feel a great debt to the Edinburgh Fringe. And I go back every few years. So this year I was doing a show called Break a Leg, which is all about the theatre, my time in the theatre.
Okay.
Lots of name-dropping stories about great actors I'd met from Laurence Olivier and Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor, right up to the present day.
Right.
And we were very lucky. We played, we sold out at every performance, and I'm going on tour with it next year.
Oh, fantastic.
Which will be fun, taking it around the country. So that was a good experience. The only trouble with being in Edinburgh for the whole of August, which I was, is you miss summer. Because they don't believe in it up there. they just don't do summer.
Right.
But they do pleasant autumn.
Okay.
So it's the wind and the rain are there, the autumnal breezes, but not a ray of sunshine. Umbrella up every day. So I'm very glad to be down south.
Cool. And talking about being down south, a couple of things that I read about you when I was doing some research the other way. I understand you have a kind of connection with us down here in Kent, and particularly the seaside at Broadstairs.
I have lots of connections with Kent. I love Kent. I was, in a sense, I feel I was brought up there, though I wasn't. I'm basically a London person. But my father went to school in Kent,
right.
Ramsgate, a place called St. Lawrence College.
Oh, I know St. Lawrence, yes, yeah.
And we went as children always to Broadstairs, to the Isle of Thanet, for holidays. And, oops, I'm just thinking, oh, that's an that's you. Is that you calling me on another line? How amusing.
Nope.
Forgive me. We're now driven mad by these machines everywhere. I've got too many mobile phones. Anyway, so as a child, I went to Broadstairs on a regular basis and just loved it. And what's interesting, actually, is there's a bit of a revival happening. It's interesting. A lot of what people say is usually a few years out of date. Because I was with somebody the other day saying, oh, British seaside resorts, all over, it's all dead. I said, no. 10, 15, 20 years ago, things were looking pretty ropey. But actually, the best of them are coming back.
Yes.
And I know this partly because I'm associated with the British Peers Society, P-I-E-R-S, nothing to do with the House of Lords, I'm a respectable person, and Seaside Peers. And a lot of them have been refurbished, reinvented. But Broadstairs, while it went through, obviously, Victorian, Edwardian times, it was a very classy seaside resort, is coming back as a very fashionable resort. And it's beautiful, lovely hotels there, lovely restaurants. The Pavilion on the Sands has recently been acquired, is being refurbished, going to be turned into, you know. And all the way around that coast, you know, places like Folkestone, which people wrote off again 20, 25 years ago, the advent of Saga, the new art gallery, all the things that have happened around there. And what's interesting is that it's business that turns it around. It's business that does it. People have lovely, bright ideas, but actually, to make it happen, you need to have the entrepreneur, and she or he has to find the money, raise the money, focus on it, and deliver it. So I do know Kent. My wife was brought up in Ashford, in Kent.
Which is where we are in the studio here.
Well, good luck. I hope you find the studio every day. It's quite an adventure, I find, now going around Ashford. When I first knew her in the 1960s, Ashford was almost a market town.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, you could walk casually from the railway station to where she lived in North Street on beautiful little side streets.
Yeah.
But now... but anyway,
It's a lot bigger now. It's a lot bigger.
It's a lot bigger. And has the railway thing worked there?
Yeah, it has to a large extent because it is very quick to get to London now. You can get to London in 30 minutes or so. Ashford is quite lucky because we have a lot of local industry as well, but obviously a lot of people commute to London. But it's a two-way street. A lot of businesses are attracted to Ashford because it's quick to get to from London. So it has fairly much worked for the town here.
But my campaign to get Ebbsfleet renamed Agincourt has not got off the ground. This is when you know the Eurostar used to come into Waterloo, and it no longer came into Waterloo and started going into St Pancras.
Right.
I thought, well, now we just need to redress the balance here.
Just to make the French feel good about it. Yeah.
Exactly. Let's call Ebbsfleet. No, why? What sort of name is Ebbsfleet? Agincourt. That has the ring of glory about it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Giles, look, you're going to be speaking at the dinner of the Southeast Construction Expo on the 13th of September. And
I'm really looking forward to that. I tell you what, I've been to this before. This time it's at Ardingly, I think, near Haywards Heath. And I'm going as a guest of my friends at Wilmot Dixon, which is a business I've known for many years. I now think it's a billion pound business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what I love... the construction industry is that it's fundamental. You know, it builds the world we live in. You know, the house you are in, the flat you live in, if it isn't well built, if it isn't, you know, properly insulated, if it isn't secure, if it isn't safe, if the fire regs haven't been obeyed, if it isn't an attractive place, you don't have a safe and good life. Building is fundamental, and the way we build our world is the world in which we live. So people who build well and build optimistically and build creatively, I love. And the thing about the Southeast Construction Expo is basically everybody in the building industry, from, you know, owner-driver people with really small businesses right through the billion-pound players like Wilmot Dixon, they're all there.
Yep.
So it's a big expo. And then in the evening, we have this sort of fun gala dinner, and we also... we raise lots of money for a very nice charity, which is Chestnut Tree House.
Absolutely.
It's the children's hospice for Sussex and the southeast of Hampshire. And I think they've got about 300 children, young people, who've got these life-shortening conditions. And they look after them, and bereaved families too. And it's just brilliant. I've seen the work they do. And it costs a fortune, I think, you know, sort of nearly $4 million a year to run.
Absolutely,
so,
it does.
Not much of that comes from central government, because they're busy creating new regulations and don't have time to spend on these good causes. So anyway, that's what we're doing. So that it's a fundraising occasion, but it's also a fun occasion with the best people in construction.
Fantastic.
Will you be there? Do you come? Have you been?
Yes, I will be there. Funnily enough, I was supposed to be the MC for the evening at the dinner, but unfortunately I'm already booked to speak somewhere else in the evening. But I will be there during the day, so I will pop round and say hello before I have to leave.
They're leaving me in charge, are they, in the evening?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
Now,
good.
Before you go, Giles, I need to ask you a piece of advice.
Yes.
Because on the 12th of September, I'm on a chair, a panel, chairing a public speaking event called the Speakers Panel. And what it is they're offering people the chance to have a go at speaking in public. So you are one of the top public speakers and raconteurs ever. So I just wondered if you had a piece of advice that you would give to budding speakers that are thinking about having a public speaking career.
Oh, I don't know about a career, but about speaking, my main advice would be take your time. Enjoy it. I mean, I've been doing it for a long, long time, for literally half a century. I mean, I began as a schoolboy, taking part in schoolboy public speaking competitions, and I first was sort of did it professionally when I was still in my teens. And then when I left university, I joined an agency run by Cyril Fletcher.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Fletcher, the old man.
Yeah.
And he had this agency, And I was the youngest person on his agency lists, and I was sent around the country. I remember standing in for somebody called Godfrey Wynne when I was very young. And I was stood in for Godfrey Wynne because he just died. And the organizer of the event said, we must have Mr. Wynne. And Cyril said, well, you can't have Mr. Wynne. He's dead. So you're going to get this young man, Mr. Brandes. He's very, very good. And they said, we must have Godfrey Wynne. We've booked Godfrey Wynne. They said, well, you don't need to understand. Mr. Godfrey Wynne has died. You're getting Mr. Brandreth instead. Look, we must have Mr. Wynne. We've printed the programs. Anyway, they got me instead. So I've been doing it. No, I think my chief bit of advice actually would be to, if you can, and it's very, very difficult, to relax. Take your time. People always rush when they're nervous. I do myself. And actually, what you've got to do is just stand up there. When you begin, look at the room. Don't look at your notes. Preferably, if you can do it without notes, that's best. Really is. Without a set text, that's best. If it is, know what you want to say in your head. Remember what you want to say. Don't speak for too long. Yep. Know that it's three key points you've got to make. Make sure you understand what they are beforehand. And make those three points from the heart, using the head, taking your time to do it. Don't get up there in a sort of tense state. And look comfortable. Look easy. Look happy. And look them in the eye.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my real advice would be take your time. But basically, the other advice is stand up, speak up, shut up. Nobody complained about a speech being too short.
Lovely. Lovely. Giles, thank you so much for joining us. It's been
a great pleasure. And rest assured, if you come to collect your CBD points at the Southeast Construction Expo over dinner, they'll be quite lightly given to you. And it'll be a Brexit-free zone. I guarantee no Brexit. We're going to have a happy night.
Fantastic. Giles, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Great pleasure. And congratulations. Business Bunker rocks.
Thank you very much, Giles. You're a star. Well done. See you soon.
Bye now.
Cheers now. Bye-bye. The absolutely fabulous Mr. Giles Brandreth.
I think you should have tried a bit harder to get him to speak a bit more.
Yeah, he's fantastic, isn't he? He's brilliant. I'm really looking forward. It's a shame I can't go to the evening. I was, as I said to Giles, I was supposed to MC the evening, but I'm speaking somewhere else, which I'm looking forward to.
So you're saying he only got the gig because you're not available?
Yeah, basically. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
He didn't say that while he was
on the phone. No, I wouldn't do that. No.
I've got nothing to say.
Well, we're talking about the Construction Expo. There's something I need to tell you about that is in line with that. Let me just get my... where are we? Right. Giles was talking about raising funds for the Chestnut Tree Hospice, you know, which is a children's hospice in Sussex and South Hampshire, similar to the Melzer House here in Kent. Yeah, and they care for around 300 children and young people with life-shortening conditions and their families, as well as over 200 bereaved families. And they do everything from providing a few hours respite from round-the-clock responsibilities of caring for a sick child to supporting families through some of their toughest moments. And the Chestnut Tree House provides care at their purpose-built hospice near Arundel, and it also does at-home care as well. It costs over nearly $4 million a year to provide the services, and they get less than 6% of that from central government. So the Construction Expo, Carol and the team, are trying to raise money to help the Chestnut Tree. And what they're looking for is a prize to be auctioned. If you could donate something special, a prize that's very special to be auctioned at the night, you will get two VIP tickets for the top table to actually join Giles at the dinner on his table. You'll also get a full-page advert in the event guide and some other stuff that's going on. But those are the two main things. If you can donate a prize that can be auctioned on the night for the Chestnut Tree House. If you are in a position to do that, if you could email Carol Black, Carol with an E, black@bestbusinessevents.co.uk and let her know, that will be useful, or you can email me.
Also, they've got another website, which is www.
World Wide Web.
ConstructionExpoUK.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you.
I'm sure one of your listeners out there who runs a business is going to be able to help out there. Sounds like a fantastic charity.
So. Yeah, absolutely. It's a very worthwhile cause. And actually, you get a bit of a return for donating a prize as well.
Yeah,
two VIP tickets for a dinner. And you get to sit next to the lovely Giles Brandreth as well.
Exactly.
Bring your earplugs.
Yeah, exactly. Fantastic. Good stuff. I'll tell you what, have you got something you want to read out?
Yes, go launch of Space Co-working in Rye. We were talking about this earlier, weren't
Absolutely,
we?
Absolutely, yeah.
So come along to the launch event to see and hear about the new flexible working business space available later in the year. Now, this is September the 13th. This is 5:30 till 7 in the evening. Space Co-working. I just love the address. Mm. The Old Cinema at the Fish, Market Road in Rye.
Absolutely.
Now, it's here, funky. I went riding the other week and I'd come into, usually I go along the flats, you come in from Canberra and everything. This time I came in from the hill down.
All right,
it's
amazing, coming
in that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all I want to say about it.
That's the only sort of cycling I like doing is going down hill.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Get the bus home.
Perfect. You got nothing to say on that, have you?
I have, but I can't be bothered.
Excellent. Good to know. Women in Business Lunch with speakers. Now, we've got Jill Perry on later, haven't we?
We have,
So Jill's actually speaking at this. She's Jill Perry, OBE. She's the former CEO of Amfrak. It says OBE.
I know,
here.
It's wrong. Sorry.
Okay, MBE. Former CEO of Anne Frank Trust. This is a lunch chaired by Emma Lydiard, and she's the MD of Heart Kent. Mm. And we've also got a speaker who's Kim Arnold. And this is 25th of September at Braybourne House, East Malling. It's at www.kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk. Wayne, we produce this show
to within an inch of its life.
It
feels like it was heavily produced in advance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit out that I'm the only one that hasn't got a public speaking gig, actually, from
I will
the
find
people
some.
In the room and your guests. So I'm frantically emailing people now, so by the time you speak to me,
I will find you one, mate. We'll find
I am an international speaker.
Yeah. Change my intro then.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking of which, have you ever thought about becoming a trainer?
And what?
Places are
personal
going...
trainer?
No.
Surfing?
Surfing?
Skills trainer.
Skills trainer?
Yeah, yeah.
In what?
Anything. Becoming a trainer. Let me tell you. Places are going fast for our Ashford workshop. Contact us as soon as possible to reserve a place on Saturday the 15th of September from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. This is completely free to attend.
How much?
Completely free. So come along and learn some training skills and see if it's for you. So basically, the company are going to do this free workshop in which they tell you how to plan a training course, how to deliver a training course, whatever your chosen subject is, and it's all free. If you want to find out more about it or if you want to book yourself on it, there's an email address which is info@travol-international.co.uk. I'll give you that again. Email info@travol-international.co.uk.
Nice. Mm. I'm just really surprised, and I'm going to give a massive shout out for this. So this is on Twitter. It says, "Hi Vanilla Web and Bird in a Bike, #BeBunker. A date for everyone's diary next year. It just took me by surprise, which is #Vexpo.
Yep.
And this will be on the 9th of May 2019. So this is Venues and Events Expo. You and I emceed last year.
We did.
I had the bigger gig, I'm just saying. a one-day exhibition for event professionals, PAs, VAs.
Wasn't yours a silent gig?
I had more people in mine.
Oh, okay.
Surely it comes down to numbers.
Oh, does it? Okay.
#Hashtag
yours is bigger than mine, was it?
Just saying.
#Hashtag bigger than yours.
And amazing venues and great suppliers for events. So this is www.venueseventsexpo.co.uk. Wayne, you could speak there.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll get your speaking gig there.
Give me your email address.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're really pleased and proud to be sponsored and supported here on the Business Bunker Show by the University of Kent Business School. We'll be bringing you information and insights from the business research undertaken at the university. We're also forging links with small and medium-sized enterprise and the university. And the university have spent a lot of time talking to bigger businesses, and they realise that the future is small businesses, and they want to build relationships with lots more smaller businesses so that they can use them as part of their research to get feedback, to understand what their issues are. So they're trying to get links together, and they're forging links with SMEs and the university, and they're also, we're going to be listing the various events, networking meetings, and also talking about their annual business summit. They ran a business summit in January 2018. It was the first one they ran. It was incredibly successful. You can see the report and hear all about it on the following link that I'm going to give you in a moment, which is kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KSB, KBS, Kent Business School. But they've got a couple of free events coming up in the next few months, and they're in a series called the Business Soundbite event. And the next one is on the 12th of September, and it's entitled Female Leadership in Small or Large Organisations, Is the Future Female? Now, you were talking about the past and some of the females that have done that and done the things that have led us to where we are, and they're looking at Is the Future Female? It's taking place at the Kent Business School, which is in the Sibson building on the university campus at Canterbury.
When is this?
It's on the 12th of September.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then on the 21st of November, they have another business soundbite event, which is Man and Machine, The End of an Era. Are robots taking over the workplace? And that's also taking place at the Kent Business School, Sibson Building at the University of Kent. You can find out both of those, and when they've got the booking sites up and open, they'll be there by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS.
Interesting conversations to have.
Mm.
Whether they're the beginning, the middle, or the end. Interesting.
Absolutely.
How do you feel as men not being able to be employed because women and AI are going to come in and take over?
No problem.
I get to see fishing. Robots and various innovations in a lot of the factories and warehouses that I supply labour to, and some of the things that these machines can do now are pretty incredible. So I think definitely that is going to be something that continues. I hope not too quickly.
Just being serious for a moment, I have some humdinger arguments with
Are
a chap.
Are you going
called,
brave now?
Yeah. I have some humdinger arguments with a very intelligent guy called Callum Chase, who's an author, and he's incredibly worried about AI. Now, in some respects, he has every right to be worried. You know, there are ethical issues to consider, but his big worry is that he's going to put everybody out of work. And I fundamentally have a problem with this because I'm old, and I've been around a long time, and I started work in IT. In 1970. And at the time, everybody kept saying computers are going to put everybody out of work by 1985. You know, everybody's going to have huge long hours, long holidays, and nobody's going to have a job and da-da-da. It turned out to be complete and total nonsense. And what actually happened was the introduction of computer technology actually killed about 800,000 jobs in old-style industries, but created 3.2 million new ones. And what I'm saying is AI will have a very similar but probably more dramatic effect in that it will change the nature of a huge amount of jobs. I mean, the kind of industries that Wayne works in, you know, you supply pickers and packers and stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of the unskilled sort of labour factories.
But a lot of that's being automated. You know, you've now got farms vacuuming apples off trees.
Yeah, a lot of it's automated. But again, you know, following up what you've said, it also then, as a spur on, creates new jobs in other areas of business because their business can grow and expand because of automation, and then that creates additional jobs. Yeah. So although it can strip out some work on certain lines or production lines, it will create jobs in other areas of their business or within the business that's making the machinery and having to run the machinery, maintain the machinery.
Exactly.
You still need a human at A to B.
Yeah, well, I think...
At A and B, in between.
That's why I'm coming back into... It was you that spurred me into saying this based on what you said when you said, how do we feel about women and automation? And this is a bit gross, and I'll probably get my head kicked in for this, but... It is traditionally viewed that average female workers have more interpersonal skills than men. They tend to be
more... We're all sitting here frightened at what's coming out of your next.
What is he going to say? I like it. We should be having conversations.
I'm refraining from commenting on this.
Go on.
So, but my point is with greater automation, what that leads to is a bigger necessity, as Wayne just said, for more human interaction with things, support and help and guidance and all those kind of things. So what I'm expecting to see is a move away from the mechanical functions of doing things, which you can leave to automation, but the human interactions really need to, you know, kick in and and do a lot more.
I'll give you a great example who's taking this on board at the minute. And I had James Sinclair on my show a couple of, 9 months ago, and we were talking about this, of how you've got automation coming into business. Mm. So that's what, you know, it's saving us time, isn't it? Or, you know, AI, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
McDonald's have done this brilliantly.
Mm.
So they've reversed engineered their whole model. Mm. So they were fast food, you go in, you get your food, you leave.
Mm.
Now what they've done is you go in, you order now.
Yep.
And guess what? They bring table service to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa, we were going away from that. You've just now reinvented the whole model. Mm. So now I order on a screen. I get it really quick, but they bring it to me.
And the best part of that, not that I eat lots of McDonald's, but you can, you know, bespoke your order now.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot easier than confusing someone behind a counter with something that is in a set.
So what they've done is use the skill or the labour or the person, not to get rid of so that it streamlines their business and they save money. They've just utilised the labour of humans to another delivering of service, which is higher.
Yeah, if anything, you may have increased the amount of staff they need to now serve, but it's increased their business, what we said earlier. So that automation has actually increased revenue, which has increased jobs. So.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly my point. I agree 100% with both of you. I'm excited by it.
Yeah.
I'm excited by it. There are ethical things to consider, you know, like how we're going to get, you know, even in California, where they have quite a few driverless cars, they have this big problem at the moment with people throwing themselves in front of cars, deliberately.
To get an insurance claim.
So you've got to start to look at things like that and how you ethically manage those kind of things and who's responsible when something crashes, you know, because is it the software provider?
But it does. History does hold the answer because this happened when horses stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
And we had Henry Ford come in with a car.
Yeah.
We were only talking about
yesterday. I don't think Paul's that old.
What was it? 19 something? So, yeah, we had it then, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not changed.
Well, one of the things that people never factor into this when they look at these kind of issues is that they look at discrete things, but things don't happen just like that. Things evolve. It takes, you know, things roll out. It takes time. You learn as you go. Things, you know, just roll out. If you take the mobile phone, I owned a mobile phone in 1987, I think, which was a Motorola eTac.
Was it a block?
It was a brick.
Yeah.
It was a brick. Not only that, it cost me $4,000, and there were only two people I could call. Yeah?
But it always looked great when you walked into a pub and you slapped it
down on the table. And I go, whoa, city boy.
Great big pull-out aerial.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so... But moving from that to the fact that less than 30 years later... Every single person almost on the planet has a mobile phone. In Africa, the population of Africa is 1 billion people. There are 780 million mobile phones in use in Africa. Everybody on the planet almost has a mobile phone. In fact, there are more people with mobile phones than have access to clean water and electricity.
That's a crazy statistic.
Isn't it? And it's just crazy. And that in less than 30 years. So, you know, how these things roll out and take over things and generate new opportunities is quite often overlooked, in my opinion.
Interesting.
So there you go. That'll do for our mastermind bit, won't it?
No.
Oh, all right. Do you want to do the mastermind bit?
No,
then?
We can.
No, you can. I'm happy to do that. We've got a few minutes before the break. So.
Well, look, let's keep on with this because it's quite a nice topic to talk about. And it's a little bit risque, isn't it? You know,
well,
let's
be
honest, because somebody's going to go, well, that's not right.
Mm.
The reason I was looking into it, as I said, well, I was writing. So I've got my book coming up, writing my book. Two things. So here's a question for you. Is a book a platform to build your business from?
In what way?
So would you write a book to build your business, or is the book a business in itself? Everybody tells you to write a book. Everybody says writing a book.
Okay.
Would you write a book to build your business up?
Not to build a business. I mean, you could effectively write a book about your experiences within business and then maybe utilise that to add, you know, to showcase what you do as a businessman or within business. So that may help with your marketing and maybe raising your platform. But I don't think I'd write a book to build a business. But the book itself could be a business if it was a top seller. So,
Because we're told, aren't we, to write books all the time.
What are you writing?
Everybody's
writing.
Wisdom of Women.
Okay. You see...
Who are you helping? Who are you getting to help you do that?
It's only because he's sitting the other side of the seat.
And he looked away. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where's the door? Yeah, where's the door?
I don't
quickly
want to engage
I'm
with
out
that
of here. See, I've never, ever, ever wanted to write a book. Ever.
But you're a great, passionate reader.
I love reading books. I have thousands of books. I love reading books. But I've never, ever in my life wanted to write a book.
Why is that, Mr. Andrew?
Just not interested. I can't write anyway. I'm a talker, not a writer.
Well, it's another way
audio,
of delivering...
Audio book, there.
Yeah.
It's another way of delivering content, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. But I've never had the desire to write a book. I used to write a column. I used to write a column for a personnel magazine on careers and stuff. I was a career doctor. I struggled with that. It was a monthly magazine, and I had to write 1,000 words every month.
And the night before it was due to be published.
Yeah, I'd be sitting there,
stealing other people's work off the internet.
Cutting and pasting stuff and all kinds of nonsense. Yeah. I hated it. Yeah. I absolutely hated it. Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, I love it all. I love creating. I just love creating content.
Yeah.
So,
are you controlling the content of the book yourself, so you've got no time deadlines in terms of publishing it, so that's probably a bit more enjoyable rather than writing columns where you're under pressure to get certain bits done.
But I've got a publisher, so the publisher's going, okay, so where is it? Yeah. Da, 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 da.
Oh, okay.
And we've just had to shelf one after 37,000 words, so it's like, right, put that over there for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and now we start again.
Okay.
So it's a really interesting process.
Absolutely. I want to tell you about a couple of things that are happening, and then we're going to have a break, and then we're going to get our next guest on the phone, the lovely Gillian Perry. I want to talk to you about the new Romney and the Romney Marsh Networking Group, and they've got some events coming up. There's Marsh Networking over coffee on the 5th of September at the Sinkport Arms in New Romney High Street, and that's at 10 a.m. Then there's Marsh Networking over breakfast. No, we missed that one. That was last week. Sorry about that. And then we got the After Hours Networking, which is on Tuesday, the 11th of September at 5 p.m. And that's at the Ship in Dymchurch. And again, that's in the High Street in Dymchurch. If you want to book on any of those or find out about any of the upcoming events, if you contact Terry Botfield, and you can email Terry, his email address is terry@botfield.net, or you can follow him on the Twitter.
But I'd prefer you to tweet him.
Yeah, tweet him, TD Botty. That's his Twitter handle.
Hilarious, isn't it?
And talking of Mr. Botty, TD, he has tweeted because he's telling me about a charity dinner he's organising.
Yes.
He's got half of people over the age of 75 live on their own, and 23% of all older people do not speak to or see anyone every day out on the marsh. The Marsh Network is holding a charity dinner in aid of CARM, C-A-R-M, who support older people living in isolation on the Romney Marsh. Information and tickets are available by going to marshnetwork.co.uk. The dinner is taking place, the charity dinner is taking place on the 14th of September. All proceeds in aid of CALM. And I do believe it's taking place at the Ship in Dymchurch. But you can go to marshnetwork.co.uk and find out all about it.
Yeah, we had an email last week about it, didn't we?
So, we did indeed.
It says, good afternoon, Bird. At Bird and a Bike. Oh, it's my favourite people cars from Kent.com. Could we have...
It's your little stalker.
Could we have one of your lovely Bird and a Bike business bunker shout-outs, please? Buy and sell your car locally on carsfromkent.com. Thank you. Yes, there you go, my loves.
That's from Mitch, I guess.
It is. But he's not here, is he?
He's not. He's in Dubai at the moment.
Just proves the world is small, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And you know, you were speaking about the speakers platform.
Mm.
So here's the actual thing. So on Wednesday, the 12th of September, 6:30 till 9:30 in the evening at Fruitworks Co-working in Canterbury. Are you a speaker? Would you like to practice your speaking skills? Would you like to use your skills to win a competition? So this is all competitive stuff. It says, then you need to join us at the speakers platform on Wednesday, the 12th of September. The prize for the overall winner is a one-to-one coaching from each of the judges. Now, these judges are highly, highly recommended to go and speak to. So we've got Amy McManus, who is the Business Female Speaker of the Year. Love watching Amy speak, really natural. You've got Jane Farnham, Director of the Great British Speakers. And you've got the one and only Mr. Andrews, who you've been speaking for how many years?
I was on the international circuit for 15 years.
Yeah, so it's invaluable, invaluable wisdom to be handed to you. Entries must be submitted before the 31st of August. Now, if I'm right, that's this Friday.
It certainly is.
Goodness gracious me, and I know that because I'm racing Saturday. So this is www.butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/thespeakersplatform.
Fantastic. Thank you, Beth.
How are we going with all of that?
Yeah, it's good. Basically, the format is this. You submit a bio plus a brief overview of what your talk's about. The judges then look at all the submissions, and we're going to, on the night, we're not going to do it until on the night. We're going to do it live on the night. We're going to pick four that we want to hear from. So it's all tenterhooks for everybody that's put it in. And then the four that we pick out of all the ones that have entered have to get up and do their talk on the night. Then the audience get to vote for the one that they like. And the one that kind of wins, it gets the one-to-one tuition from the three judges in future.
Do you know what? I get bios, obviously, every week from my guests who come on the show. And I love it when somebody's really passionate about their bio. Make it interesting. Make it fun. Make it a little bit different than I've won this, I've done that, repetitive, same tone. Give me something that's really exciting so you go, oh, my God, I never knew that about you. Or not even fun facts. It's not to be disrespectful, but it's just to give it some extra edge that I'm going to go, okay, now you've got my attention.
Absolutely. Cool. Good. I think we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom, and then after that, we're going to talk to our next guest. What do you reckon?
Let's do it.
Yeah? Do you think it's worthwhile?
Yeah, always.
Let's go.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.